Your turn, Lori.
I'm here. Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Buckley, and today I am your guest host, and I am so excited because I am going to be interviewing Dr. Diana Wiley and her husband, Brian Brewer, to talk about Dr. Diana's new and timely book, Love in the Time of Corona, Advice from a Sex Therapist for Couples in Quarantine. So exciting. I am so happy to be your guest host, switching the tables and interviewing you. So welcome. Welcome, Dr. Diana.
Oh, well, thank you, Dr. Lori. I'm so thrilled to have you as the guest host. You have been a guest on my program over the 10 years I've been on Progressive Radio Network many times. And, of course, Lori has her own book. But today we're going to focus on my book. Yeah, and Brian Brewer is on the, my husband is on the line, too, because
yes.
Brian helped with the organization and writing of the book, so he's a very important person for this interview.
Yes, I read the intro, and you really just so affectionately and appreciatively talk about, you know, how Brian has, we'll just say, been a partner in life and certainly in this book. And I'm not going to give it away, but I love the dedication. So you have to get the book to get the dedication. But I thought it was fantastic. Yeah, we go way back, though. We've done a lot together. We've co-hosted videos for Better Sex, and we've done shows together, and we talk, and we definitely support one another. And I love this book. I just can't say enough good things about it. I mean, Diana, you've been helping couples improve their relationship and their sex life for decades. This book is long in the making, and it is filled with such incredible information and strategies and tips that I know it's going to really help so many couples during this pandemic. So I want to ask you, what can couples who are going through an extended period of time together, what a lot are doing now, or we could even call it forced togetherness, do to thrive and grow during this incredibly challenging time?
Well, when Brian and I first started talking about writing this book, and that was mid-March, wasn't it mid-March, Brian?
Yeah, about 2 months ago.
Yeah, I'm not hearing you very well, but maybe that's because there are three of us
ago.
On the line. Anyway, it just seemed that we needed to write this book, Love in the Time of Corona, and people most couples have lots of time together, and we just thought, you got to make the most of it. Watching television together or watching, endless Netflix, it may not do that much for your relationship and your connectedness. So the book is about making the most of your time together with lots of exercises and that sort of thing.
It's important to mention, I think, that while this is a great time for the book and a great time for people to be doing this kind of, I call it work, but it could be play, really is good for all couples at all times. I mean, the exercises and all of the strategies that you offer, they're good for all couples, always. So it really is much more than just during this, but we'll just say especially important during these times.
Especially important. And I was just told by our producer that the reason that I can't hear Brian very well is that he's the third person on the line. So, Brian, can you hear us?
I can hear you just fine. Can you hear me?
Okay.
I can hear you.
Yeah, good. All right.
Okay. So, Laura, you make a great point about how this book is, even though it's positioned today because of the pandemic situation we're in, you know, the advice is really timeless. It's, Diane and I spent some time at the early stages of writing this book, you know, figuring out what of all the advice and, exercises that she recommends to her clients, what would work best for people in this particular time. And so that's how we came up with these basically 10 chapters about what you can do during this time of corona and when you can, enhance your relationship.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it, relationships are challenging anyways. And then we have the outside challenge of this pandemic. It just exacerbates all of the challenges that couples might be having. So I'm sure you're seeing that in your practice right now, Diana, that couples who maybe they were doing okay, they were like fine, now they're not so much anymore because it brings everything to the surface and things that can't be ignored anymore.
And aren't you, you're seeing that too in your practice a lot, I'm sure.
Absolutely. But I have to ask you this because I imagine that it's on the listeners' minds. You know, people are probably thinking, at least some are, okay, wait a minute. There's a lot going on here. We are stressed out. We're exhausted. We've got our kids at home. Like, is it even possible right now to be, or is it necessary to be focusing on sex? And is romance even possible during all of, you know, these challenges, this time of challenges that we're facing?
Well, let's talk about the romance thing in just a moment. But I think the couples should realize that the benefits of having some sexual activity are huge in terms of reduced stress and anxiety. And this has been proven in a lot of studies. I mean, I know you've seen them, Dr. Laurie, too. Reduced stress and anxiety. And so it has a lot of health benefits. I mean, lots of people are really anxious. So you can go into another realm by being sexual, and particularly if there are orgasms being experienced, then you're being flooded with all the feel-good hormones instead of too much cortisol and adrenaline. You're getting oxytocin and endorphins and all kinds of good things for you. So, So as we continue to talk, it'll become more clear about why couples really should take advantage of this time and not just fritter it away with Netflix or video games or that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is it is actually the objections that make it the most important. Right? It's like, well, too stressed. There's too much going on to think about sex, but that's the exact reason why we should be having sex, to alleviate some of those things. Yeah. It's a really, really good point. Yeah. So, I mean, let's talk a little bit more about touch, because touch is right now is something that many people are not experiencing. I haven't touched another human. I don't even know when the last time was. It's been at least 9 weeks. So, you know, touch is such an important thing for couples, right? And can you talk a little bit more about what makes touch so important?
Yes. Well, now I think more than ever we need the comforting touch, the touch of love. And as somebody who is without a partner, Lori, you know that. I mean, don't you have a certain longing for touch? And I mean, I think those of us who have partners should really count our blessings. And I know I do all the time. I have a lot of gratitude. And I talk to clients who are living alone, and it's the same thing, longing for touch. And there are kinds of self, this book is designed for couples, but there are some, we can talk about self-touch, which we do, and individuals can use some of the self-touch. But touch, it's, you know, touch and massage, there's a universal truth about human sexuality, no matter what your sexual beliefs are, that nothing beats a good back rub. And I could say ditto for a foot massage. I mean, wouldn't that just be great to just have a wonderful back rub and relax? And I mean, you can get some of those benefits in the shower if you have a shower pulsating, but but it's certainly massaging each other is a great, great foreplay anyway. People have better sex when they're relaxed.
It's a great way to get someone in the mood. I'm sorry, Brian, say that again.
Well, there's also, I wanted to mention, there's also some information in the chapter about touch that where Diana puts out some guidelines about for couples, you know, who are living together 24/7 now, about how they can manage their daily touch and not get overwhelmed by it, because sometimes it might be too much for some people. And so we, you know, so there are some guidelines she's written about in there about, you know, how to set some boundaries, how to be clear, and then also emphasizing that you should, you know, a couple should then make sure they set aside some time to have some intentional touch, a massage or whatever, with each other.
Absolutely, and we're going to go into a little bit more depth in that, like how does that even happen? But I do want to just highlight what you said, Diana, about just the power of that and what a massage could mean and just how healing and connecting and potentially arousing that can be. And it really is such an important thing. And also the part you talked about with gratitude. And I always say that if you have somebody who loves you in your life, I mean, we tend to take that for granted sometimes. Don't. It is especially important now. I think we are looking at so many people dying and so much loss and illness that the truth is we've never known, you know, how many days we have on this planet or how many days somebody we love has here on this planet. But to really, especially now, be in that place of gratitude is, I mean, it is a huge, giant thing, and it changes everything. I just did a YouTube video about that last night, and I just think it's one of the most important things that we can do in our relationships is to appreciate everything that we have in our relationship. And when things aren't right, we can talk about that. But touch is one way to connect people. But what if people...
And wait, Lori, yeah. Just a second.
Yeah.
You and I did a show after your partner was killed in a freak accident. This was maybe 2.5 years ago.
4 years.
Four years. And then my husband died, my last husband before Brian, died very suddenly, too. So we both know about how uncertain life is and about loss of a loved one. And you just can't take anything for granted. And people are, in this time of corona, people are beginning to reorder their priorities and their purpose. This is not the time to take a partner for granted.
So true. Or life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Or life. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
we know, yes. And so many people know, you know, what that feels like to lose a loved one. And you don't want to have any regrets, you know, and waste any time. It's cherish every single moment. And in a connected way. People could be together, but if you're not feeling connected and you're just running around and doing, and what you said, I'm seeing it a lot where people are really reassessing their life and they're recalibrating and they're moving forward. And and this is important about your book too. It's not about, oh, we want to get back to normal. It's like, no, this is an important time in your life to move forward and have a much richer life and a much richer relationship. This is the time to do it.
It is the time to do it, and the time to see if you can't bring a little romance into your relationship if it's been missing for a while. Should we talk about romance? Because that
yes.
is something that we talk about in the book, and it has to do with, is romance possible during this pandemic or any sort of challenging time? But especially now, and of course, my answer is absolutely yes, and that romance has more to do with thoughtfulness and kindness and fun. You know, it has more to do with those things than it does to spending a lot of money on maybe flowers and jewelry and because. I've had a client say to me, if he brings me flowers or jewelry, but he's not there in any other way, it's not romance. And that's
yeah.
true. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, if you don't have the connection and those thoughtful gestures that you were talking about, then all the jewelry in the world or flowers in the world isn't going to do it. They're really just the thoughtfulness, like you were saying, and fun, so important, which you and I talk about all the time. But yeah, and it is now, again, you know, you could think about creating those rituals, right? I mean, things that you talk about creating the romance, which can then also lead to touch and communication and sex and all of the strategies and exercises that you have really address these things in such a beautiful way that's so easy to follow, you know. But I do want to ask you this. So, you know, there's a lot of couples who have taken each other for granted and they haven't been connected. How can couples reconnect sexually if they've gone through a long period of time without much or even any sexual intimacy?
Well, I think the way to start to reconnect, you got to get to know your partner better. I mean, ask yourself, do you know what he or she really wants? And does your partner know what you want? And so, as you've already pointed out, Lori, the book has exercises to improve communication and maybe discover new things about a partner's sexual and relationship preferences. Some couples in long-term relationships think they know everything about the other person, and they really don't.
Right, we don't even know about ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the epigraphs we use is, people change and sometimes forget to tell each other. Isn't that the quote, Brian?
Yeah.
By Lillian Hellman?
Yeah. People change and forget to tell each other.
Yeah. So,
good quote.
Yeah. So don't take each other for granted, and reconnecting with gratitude. We're all on that gratitude train. We just believe in it so much. Gratitude muscles. You can thank your partner throughout the day for things. You know, if your partner brings you coffee in the morning and does it every morning, thank him. Thank him.
Yeah.
Don't take it for granted. It's a lovely gesture. And
that's romance, like you said. It doesn't have to be this huge, giant thing. It's appreciation and romance all wrapped up in one.
I think, you know, when we talk about love languages, people have acts of service, and sometimes those people are introverts and they're not as good at expressing their feelings, but they will do acts of service. And this may be an edge if this is your love language. I had a client observe, my husband does things that show he values me as a life partner and not just as a bed partner. So these acts of service can really touch one and take the burden off. You know, when people are in quarantine together, it's probably many have learned how to share the housework and share the cooking, but the sharing does a lot for couples.
Yeah, and there are so many couples right now. I mean, there are the ones who are, again, you know, the problems that they were having are being just really, you know, heightened and highlighted. But there are couples who are feeling closer than ever. And that's what this book is about. This is an opportunity to get closer, to grow together. And there are some couples who are doing that. And sometimes it's, you know, things that they've been doing intentionally, and some couples know how to do that, but many don't. So that's why this book is so, so important. It really is a good time for couples to be getting closer than ever, getting to know each other more.
Getting to know each other more, and in the process of experiencing this, there are all of these health benefits besides managing your stress and anxiety. Shall we talk a little bit more about the health benefits?
Yes, because we are all very mindful of our health right now, right? People who have compromised immunity or health issues are struggling more. They're, you know, more at risk. And so health is important. Let's talk about all of the things that you know about this, which I know is a lot.
Yes. I mean, for one thing, it's great cardio exercise. It burns calories. And that means that you're into the lovemaking, and you're moving, and of course, a health benefit is it helps you stay flexible, right? I encourage older people to do yoga to help keep them flexible, so it's burning calories. And Brian, what's the thing that we say? the three F's.
Which one? Oh, it's free, it's fun, it's the fountain of youth.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so much
it's
more fun.
It's fun, it's free, and it's the fountain of youth. Yes.
Yes. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. And especially now, most of us, you know, we can go outside and get some walking in, but, you know, we have to be much more intentional about getting some physical activity, and we're homebound most of the time. So, yeah, like I said, much better than a treadmill, much more fun, and it just accomplishes so many things.
Yes, it is so, it's the best exercise. It is so much fun. And of course, if I touched on this before, but the health benefits of reaching orgasm, or plural orgasms, are just enormous. Now, for people living alone, bringing yourself to orgasm is so important, and finding some really good sex toys for couples or for individuals living alone. But sex toys, but we'll get into that as maybe or maybe not as we go.
But it is really important. And, you know, a couple of things, you know, people who are alone can touch themselves. So it's not just sexually, it's just rubbing your body. I find something that just really is centering, and it feels really healing. And I don't know if there's some science here, but I believe that there is. It's just, you know, taking your hands and holding it over your heart. There's just something very calming about that. And it does make a difference. So if you don't have a partner to touch you, I think there's something, you know, symbolic, but also physiological, when we can just put our hands over our heart and just take a few deep breaths. And to touch your whole body for pleasure and for comfort is a wonderful thing. Not the same as having a partner, but, you know, if you have no other options, it's a good thing to be able to do as well.
Absolutely. I love this idea that you just said. It's true, too. If you put your hand over your heart and take some deep breaths, kind of center yourself. And there are other self-touches or even touches that you can bring into your couple relationship that have to do with your neck, your shoulders, give yourself a hand massage. Those sorts of things can be very healing, and maybe we want to spend a little time talking about other parts of healing that are part of sexual relationships.
Yeah, and your book does a really good job, I mean, really talking a lot about how to touch and where to touch. Mm-hmm. What are you specifically talking about right now?
Well, we're talking about sexual activity being directly connected to our life force in a couple of ways. And there are certain people that are very, very religious who feel like procreation is the only purpose for sexual activity. From an evolutionary purpose, it is to propagate the species. But really, the healing power of sex is also so much pleasure, and the often intense sensations that accompany sexual activity that make us feel alive. Make us feel alive. You know, when we're stressed and depressed and maybe don't have a job or all of the other things, worried that you'll catch the virus. We need to feel alive, and you can feel, and especially as an older person making love, it can help you feel so alive. And also the energy of sexual pleasure promotes healing through the release of all those feel-good hormones and neurotransmitters, and especially oxytocin and endorphins. And I will say that my husband has absolutely mastered combining massage and sexual arousal for a synergistic healing effect. Brian, can you talk about that? You're the master of this, combining touch and sexual arousal.
You know, sometimes people ask, well, what about, how can sex be healing? And, of course, in general, you get a lot of good feelings from it and a lot of health benefits. But what we've discovered and do sometimes is massage. Like, for example, I will be massaging Diana's thigh, for example, and using my other hand to stimulate her genitals. And it can be a nice balance of massage and sexual arousal. You kind of get an energy loop going between the sexual energy and the massage energy, and it can really have great effects.
It sure does.
Now I'm just jealous. But Brian, since we have you on the phone, I think you can both answer this. But I'm going to ask you, Brian, right now. What steps can, I'm going to say we, but maybe men, you can focus on right now, take to become more confident and skilled lovers?
Oh boy, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
Well, one component of that is knowledge. Is learning more about sex, and you know, a lot of people, including men, think, well, it just comes naturally. You just know what to do, and that's a starting point. But that's just square one. There is so much information available in terms of books and videos and other resources about what sex is all about. The anatomy and physiology of the whole process. Just learning that can help you when you're in the doing it. Another part that can increase one's confidence, and this is one something very specific that especially for couples who have been together for a while, is for a man to learn to how to use sex toys on his partner. Especially, sex toys on a woman. Women are really sensitive to vibrators, and they work really well. And instead of viewing vibrators as a competition, I really recommend you make friends with them, because if you combine the use of a vibrator with your own methods of stimulation, you can get the synergistic effect. So those are two things that come to my mind: is get more knowledge, and then make friends with sex toys.
Those are fantastic. And Diana, what do you want to add to that?
I'm just reflecting on what a lucky girl I am.
I know, you are.
I really am. And getting, I haven't been able to swim because the indoor pool where I live is closed because of COVID. And so I'm walking, but I really miss the swimming. And so when Brian rubs my thighs and stimulates me sexually at the same time, it is fabulous. I just feel so good, and it definitely I get much more oxytocin and endorphins going, and that's what I would add to it.
an endorsement, because it works. I mean, how can that be bad? There's just everything good about that, combining multiple stimulation, but it's healing and it's pleasure and it's sexual and it's fantastic.
Yeah,
I like it.
It is. And I know that I'm fortunate, and because Brian is thoughtful and skilled. Anyway, but Brian, I quote you. I've done it on this program before because he does pay attention a lot to my pleasure, and men should do that. Pay attention to your partner's pleasure, and he's got a saying, worship your woman, and the goddess will reward you. So that makes me want to reward him a lot.
I mean, can you just say that one more time? It's so good.
Yeah. Well, Brian, do you want to say it?
Well, sure.
Go on, Brian.
The motto is, worship your woman, and the goddess will reward you. And
yep,
so it's
right on. I just think that is incredibly wise.
Well, yeah. You know, a lot of men tend to get focused on their own pleasure when they're having sex, and that's, you know, it's not like there's anything wrong with that, but they're missing out on a lot more opportunities for increased pleasure, down the road and longer time if you can just focus on your partner's pleasure, and you create this loop. It really works well. It does for us anyway.
Yeah, and I'm going to add, because I think it's so important, and Diane, I want to hear your thoughts on this, but it is true that a lot of men aren't even focusing on their own pleasure. They're focusing on their quote-unquote performance.
And I was just going to say, yes. You right, talk about that, Lori, because that's so true. That's what gets a lot of men. They're in their heads and they're worried about performance, but you talk more about that.
It's so true, right? They're worried about an erection, maintaining an erection, getting an erection, coming, not coming, you know, all of that. And so what the benefit is of focusing on your partner's pleasure is it gets you out of your head, and it everybody wins. It's a better experience for everyone. Yeah.
Exactly right. And what helps along the way, one of our point is about sexual communication, and I know you read about this, Lori, mm-hmm. in the book. And so, what suggestions do we have to improve sexual communication skills? Because sexual communication is at the foundation of everything, isn't it?
It's the best way to learn, like what Brian was saying. You know, you can read it in books, but you're not going to learn as much from your partner as you will in the books, but both are important. But yeah, we can learn a lot from communicating with each other. But how do people do it? What are the suggestions?
Well, I think, you know, there are some inhibited, maybe shy people that it's hard for them to say what they like, what they would like in sex. And some people think that if they have to say the words, that it may take the fun out of sex. But I say try not telling your partner, and then that can be much less fun. You know, it's like it resembles the analogy of if you think education is expensive, try ignorance.
Mm, yeah,
it's,
I agree.
So sexual, we have some ideas in the book about how to talk about sex. And it is hard for a lot of people. It's not modeled when we're growing up, typically. And so it can be embarrassing. Sexual conversations can include feelings, desires, and conditions. So feelings might be, I'm feeling some anxiety, or actually I have some anger, and couples need to get past the anger before they'll even want to go into the bedroom and have sex. So they need to talk about their anger, but also talk about delights, things that feel so good. So that leads into desires. What I want, do I want it slower or harder? And what I don't want, well, could you please, no fingernails. Maybe you can file your fingernails down. And then the conditions. I often ask couples, when you've had great sex in the past, what conditions have been in place? Well, oftentimes the person is just out of the shower, or maybe better yet, they take a shower together so they're really clean. Mm-hmm. And their breath smells good. They brush their teeth. And another condition might be a good amount of privacy. And for couples that have children, this book is not probably focused so much or meant for couples with small children. It would be hard for them to do this, but if they can do it, it would be great. They've scheduled some time, put a lock on the bedroom door, let the children know that that mommy and daddy need some time too.
And yeah, I think it's so important. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, most people, and I think you experience this too, I know in my practice, I'm going to say maybe it's 20% who have no trouble with communication. Most of them do. Now, obviously, they're seeing a sex therapist, but I really do believe, because of the things you were saying, just the world that we grow up in, we don't want to hurt people's feelings. We have been taught not to talk about sex. There's just so many things that get in the way of us being able to freely communicate. So it is an important chapter in your book and the foundation of good sex. I mean, you really, I'm going to say, can't have great sex, at least not sustainable great sex, without it.
That
important one.
That is,
yeah, you're right,
very.
There's a lot of,
yes,
a lot of
Brian,
throughout the book about how to improve your communication as a couple. It's fundamental to a good relationship.
Yeah, essential. So that is, it's just so important. We can't say that enough. And again, you give some really good exercises and ways that people can do that. And when they have something to follow, it does make it easier, which is if people come to see us and they want to get that information, they can get it from your book. They don't necessarily have to go see a sex therapist. And let's face it, there's more people that probably don't see a sex therapist than do.
And
to be able to get, you know, have that resource and get that information, I mean, not everybody can afford to go to a therapist. So it's great to put that out there for everybody to be able to get. There's no reason that you can't get the information and be able to start doing some of these things right now, which really will make a difference, not just in your relationship, but like you were saying, for your own, you know, physical, mental, psychological health. So it's not just about relational health.
Exactly right. And throughout all of this, I've often said two words, and I wouldn't be surprised if you've said the same word in your practice, Dr. Lori, and that is slow down. Slow down. Be in the moment.
Yep.
We need to talk a little bit about mindfulness, but I love a board game, and we recommend it in the book, Enchanting Evening. And it's been around for 30 years. It sold about 1 million copies. It's a board game. It helps the couple with lots of really provocative and interesting questions about relationships and kissing and some touching, and but mostly about thoughts. And it helps couples focus in on each other and slow down. And that's essential. Don't you find that couples need to hear that? Slow down?
Oh,
Dr. Lori?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you know, related to this pandemic, that's what many people are realizing. It's like, oh, we've been forced to have a pause in our life, and we're all slowing down. And so it certainly is true for sex, and to be able to really just, I'm going to say, experience and surrender to pleasure and connection. And when we're just kind of trying to hurry through it, we don't want to wake up the kids. We, you know, it's late at night. We got to go to sleep because we've been working all day. It doesn't nearly feel as good as it can. So it's one of the things that when women are asked, you know, what is their one thing that you, if you could change in your sex life, or what you would want your partner to know, at least in heterosexual relationships, that's it. You know, they say, oh, I wish you would slow down. Right.
Yeah.
Most common thing.
You've heard, that women, men can be like microwaves, and women are more like crock pots. They need to slow down and simmer and be aroused and not be so, not to have their partners be so genitally focused. at least in the beginning.
Yes. It's true, and when men do it, you know, they might do it because their women want it, but I'll tell you, they end up enjoying it much more, too. It's just a whole different experience, and look, if there's a time for a quickie, certainly there's some, you know, wonderful moments we can have with those, but there is something to be said for the just slowing down, looking into each other's eyes, and let's talk about mindfulness because it really does play into what we're talking about right now. It's so important.
Yeah, mindfulness.
Well, we have a whole chapter in the book about it's entitled.
Yes, go ahead, Brian. I can't. Yes.
And it's, so Diana has some exercises about how you can, you know, learn a little bit of mindfulness if you haven't been exposed to the concept before, and then some suggestions about how to apply it when you're having sex and how to slow down and pay attention to what's going on, and just be more in the moment. You know, another side is that one person who reviewed the book before we published, by the way, we published it just today, so that's the other exciting thing is it's available now.
Yes, we're going to talk about that, but yes, that's why we're talking about this.
The ebook, Love in the Time of Corona, is available now in the Kindle version, and the print paperback version will be available in a few days. But what somebody pointed out after reading the book was that at least half of the exercises that are in here really are not about having sex. They're other things about communication and just connection through touching and other activities. So it's not strictly a book about how to have sex. It's about how to really connect with your partner when you have this opportunity.
Yeah, or create intimacy, which, you know, they play into each other. But, yeah, it's a good point that you made. And we're going to, you know, tell people more how they can get the book. I imagine there are lots of people who are going to want this book, and it would be crazy not to get this book. There's just not anybody who wouldn't benefit. You know, I always say, no matter how much we think we know, there is always more to learn. And like I said at the beginning, you know, Diana, you have been doing this work for literally decades, and you have, I mean, you've worked with thousands and thousands of people. You have so much information, and, you know, that you were able to put so much into this book, people to be able to get is, it's just such an incredible gift. So I thank you. And
thank you, Lori.
We're going to benefit, of course. I mean,
I love the way you're guest hosting this program. Thank you.
It's funny on the other end. Okay, so all of that said, we have to talk about, maybe it's the elephant in the room, but it's certainly something we need to talk about. And we always run out of time, but I don't want to run out of time before we mention this.
Yes.
And I think we have until the whole hour. Do we have a whole hour? Warn me if we don't.
We stop about 2 minutes before the top of the hour.
Okay, so we got to talk about this. So, you know, there are people who are not going to be in the mood, right? They're just not in the mood. They don't feel like having sex. So I know a lot of the things we talked about really do address this. But if you could just give like maybe three quick tips or suggestions for people who just feel like they just are not in the mood, or at least one of the people in the partnership are not in the mood, like what can they do?
Well, to back up a little bit, they need to schedule sex, and we get a little bit of pushback from that. But put sex on the calendar. People think that it ruins the fun and the spontaneity of sex, but it really doesn't. And we have too many myths that happen actually from Hollywood, from movies, that, you know, that it's just going to happen. You're going to fall into each other's arms, and there's going to be all this rapture.
Right.
And that doesn't happen.
It doesn't work that way. No, no.
Doesn't. So you need to plan a date night at home. And certainly within that plan, I used to say to couples when they could go out on the town, you make a plan to go out on the town. And within that plan, there is room for spontaneity and fun. And the same for a date night at home. So you put it on the calendar and follow through. And if you have clear intentions, this is actually ends up to be anticipatory emotional foreplay. And for women with lower desire, it often helps because if they have a they have a partner who's been nagging them for sex, and if it's on the calendar, they don't have to have so much anxiety about it. And if the date approaches and they're still not in the mood, then they can talk about it with their partner, and maybe they don't have to have full intercourse. Maybe they just decide to have a massage each other. But give your partner a sincere rain check if you're not in the mood. But I think get in the mood if you plan your evening right. Maybe you cook a meal together, you order takeout, but you make your table look attractive with candlelight and fine china and fresh flowers. You know, you set the scene.
Yeah, and you know that that's your night. And a term that you use that I love is planned spontaneity. So, yes, it's planned, but what you do can be spontaneous. And I'm not as generous as you. I say unless you're really ill or some emergency has happened, like, you don't have to be in the mood. By doing it, you can get in the mood. And when you stick to that plan, but what you said, there's that flexibility. It's not like you have to have orgasms or intercourse. It could be just that time of touching or, you know, some one of the exercises you have in your book, eye gazing. I mean, there's so many different things you can do, so that spontaneity within the planning is such a big point. And I love that term that you use. It's really a good one. But, yeah, to create that time. And we know now there are lots of people talking about how important it is right now during this crazy time in our life to have structure, to have routines, more important than ever. And this is a good time to have that in your relationship, too. And it's a healthy way to be able to proceed.
It does, the structure. I think the last 2 months for Brian and me have been so much better because we've had the structure, getting this book out, and then practicing certain exercises. That's been fun.
Yeah, research. <Of course.
laughs> You know, research.
Hands on.
You write about what you know. So,
what'd you say, Brian?
So scheduling sex, putting it on the calendar, and, you know, planning and preparation really do make the experience feel more special. So, Lori, I know you're guest hosting this, but before we run out of time, I'm hoping that we can get to the 7 secrets for sensational sex, because it kind of is a good overview in a way.
Well, I don't think you could talk about all of them, but maybe if you could talk about a couple. Yeah.
Well, let's list them, and then I want to tell you my favorite ones, because I think you were going to ask me that anyway.
Let's just
list the 7 real quick. So take care of yourself first is 1. And 2 is respect boundaries. 3, communicate openly and directly. 4, don't take anything personally. 5, focus on your partner's pleasure. 6, express gratitude. And 7, let go. Let go, let go.
Yay. They're all good, yes.
Yeah. Do you have any favorites of those, Brian? I have a couple of favorites. Do you have any favorites of those?
Well, we've already talked about focus on your partner's pleasure, which is
a
great one.
That's your favorite.
One of the best ones for you is 7, when you say let go, because I think you say it a little differently sometimes. You say, let go, let go, let go. And it's that...
Communication.
And it's just, you know, the first, like I think you said in the book, the first 6 secrets are really about setting up the right environment so that you can then... Do 7 is to let go and just abandon yourself to ecstasy, and it's a lot of pleasure. And I think the one that resonates with me the most is 1 is take care of yourself first.
Yes,
and it's kind of like the message you get when you on an airplane. You know, the flight attendant will say, well, you know, in case of emergency, the oxygen mask will come down. You put your own on first, and then you assist someone else. And that's the basis. If you don't take care of yourself first, you're going to really diminish your ability to be of value to your partner. And it's just, to me, it's the most important one.
Yeah. I think it's helpful too, because if a partner can say, oh, you know, that position just isn't so comfortable, then yeah, you can move on and go for something else that you both like, but it becomes more clear. And you don't have to, if you know that your partner is taking care of herself or himself, then you don't have to worry so much, am I doing the right thing, or, you know, is this feeling good, because your partner will let you know.
So true. And by you speaking up, that's another way to take care of yourself.
Absolutely. It is.
Well, I'm going to quote the great RuPaul. Oh, go on.
Yes. No, go ahead about RuPaul.
Quote, if you don't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love anyone else?
Exactly.
Yeah, is that what he says?
He does. He says it after every one of his shows. He's so good. He learned it from his mother, I believe. But it's true. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, say it one more time.
If you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love anyone else?
That's so true. And, yeah,
all of them, and
there's also a physiological thing about this. For some people, their amygdalas, that's the feeling center of the brain, fear center, got overwired if they had, an unhappy childhood, and there's maybe too much anxiety and depression that is, and then exacerbated for sure now in present times. So, for couples to have good sex, they have to, and I think this is especially true for women and reaching orgasm, she has to feel safe, really safe. And that will enable, and if she can trust her partner and be vulnerable with her partner, because that's what we're talking about here, that's going to make a huge difference. Let go. Be uninhibited.
You have to feel safe to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, you do. And
go on.
Yes.
Well, I'm worried that we're running out of time. I just want to say, first of all, Brian mentioned how you can get your book, and I know right now it is available through Kindle or through Amazon on Kindle. And when is it going to be available in paperback or hardcover?
In just a few days in paperback.
Wonderful. But they can get it right now just by going to Amazon, correct?
Exactly. Love in the Time of Corona, Diana Wiley.
Yes. And Diane, I think it's on this on your site, but how can people find you?
Well, when we write up the show notes for today, the link will be there, too, for the Amazon link.
Yeah,
but people can find it.
DianaWiley.com.
Yes. Love in the Time of Corona. By Diana Wiley, PhD.
Wonderful. And before we end, I'd like to hear from each of you one last tip or suggestion, like just one tip that you can leave the listeners with that they can do right away that you just want to highlight.
Well, to use this time as an opportunity. See, carpe diem, damn it. Do it. You won't regret it, and your life may be much better with much less stress, and your relationship is apt to deepen. How about you, Brian? Do you have a favorite one last tip?
There's so many, but I what comes to mind is to mention this idea that you talk about in the last chapter of what you call pandemic sex. And it's basically this disaster sex or end-of-the-world sex that people have when there's a big natural disaster or some catastrophe. And it's a way for people to kind of counteract the help the horrifying feelings of some tragedy or a disaster, a way to counteract that and to feel alive. And we've, you know, you've heard reports of some people who are experiencing that around the pandemic. And the thing that comes to my mind is that, yes, it is a life and death situation that surrounds us. It's real. And that can, for many people, it can bring up their own sense of mortality and what is life all about. And so one way to approach this period in history is to take advantage of that, to, you know, and to, if you're having, you know, if you're going to have this kind of really intense sex that's driven by your fear of mortality, use it in a positive way to reexamine your values and talk to your partner about what's really important and, you know, and deepen your intimacy. You have a great opportunity here to do that.
Yeah, and when you're, talking to your partner, talk about your fears. That's part of being in a loving relationship, that you can be vulnerable, that you feel safe enough to talk about your fears. Maybe you are fearing that you're going to catch this thing and die. So you want to, well, as I already said, carpe diem, damn it. So, but I think
important.
Yes, but what Brian talks about is, and we talk about it in the book, the pandemic sex.
Yeah, I mean, look at everything we've talked about today is in the book and more. And so, you know, if there are things that people are really resonating with or they think could help them, they can find it in the book in much greater detail. But one thing I can add, which is kind of just to piggyback on the things that you two are saying, is while this is, I think, the most, I mean, you know, not just individually or personally horrific thing we've gone through, that's very subjective, but you will just say globally, this is a big, giant, horrific, scary event, and we're all being impacted by it. Everybody, even people who are, you know, thriving, they haven't lost their jobs, they haven't lost anybody, a loved one, they're still being impacted because there is just so much change in our life. And there are people who are struggling more, who have lost jobs. They don't know how they're going to pay their mortgage or their rent. They have loved ones who they can't see. So there are some really horrific things, but there are also beautiful things at the other side of it. And to think ahead, like a year from now, and be able to say to your partner, hey, remember when we went through that? Hopefully it's less than a year, but remember when we went through that pandemic? Remember those things that we experienced? Remember the things that we did to change our life, to improve our life and improve our relationship? Those are things you can be mindful of now. Start to do those things now. So 6 months, a year from now, you can look back and feel good about the things that you did do, and this is the time to do it.
Beautifully expressed, Lori. Thank you. That's it's so true. I think we'll emerge from this with more purpose, and we'll reorder our priorities. And we may not take so much for granted, and that's a good thing. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me to be your guest host today. It was a pleasure interviewing you both. So thank you for being my guest.
Well, thank you, Lori, for being the guest host. I think you just did a beautiful job, and we'd love to have response from the listeners, and maybe that'll show up in book sales, but we'll continue to talk about these things as the time goes on Progressive Radio Network. And Brian, do you have a final thing to say?
I just want to also thank Lori and just say I'm looking forward to the day when we can see you again. So,
yes.
Me too. It will happen. It is. It is temporary. Yeah. It is. It will pass. We will get through this, and we want to do it as best as we can. So thank you again, you guys, for having me. I love you both.
Okay.
Well, we love you too. And listening audience, do try to find love in the time of Corona. And do get the book. It'll help a lot. All right, so I don't know if John's going to put the music on. I think he will. There it comes.
All right.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks,
Lori. Bye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Cosa leggerai? Che libro affascini il tuo cuore? E se ti perderai nel labirinto di un amaro autore? Ma i tuoi piedi, ta 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 ta. Ma i tuoi piedi, ta 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 ta. Happy feet, ta ta ta, happy feet.